Now we started out with a question earlier, who are you, from John 8:25. And I'm going to ask you a question. Who are you? See, you all asked me. And I want you to answer that question, but you're not allowed to use your name. And what else did I say? You're not allowed to use your occupation. Tell me who you are. Can't use your name. Can't use your occupation. It's not as easy as you think, is it? Anybody want to volunteer and answer? If you don't, I'll pick somebody. My family's sitting over there, so I might get one of them. Who just raised their hand? Anne.
I'm a child of God.
Anne is a child of God. Who are you? Does nobody know? I used to do a lot of that, but boy, I can't do much anymore.
I'm a child of God too.
Aha! Now we're gonna start copying after each other. Somebody else, some creative thinker.
Princess of the King.
She's me.
A follower of God.
Oh, a follower of God. Well, who are you? He doesn't know. All right, well, we want to ask him. All right, how about Tim? Who's Tim? Can't use his name.
A servant of God.
A servant of God. Well, you know, it's very difficult to describe ourselves without giving our name and without giving our occupation. Because that's how normally, you know, in different cultures, I might say, well, I'm a missionary or I'm a preacher. Someone might say, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm an engineer. But who are you really? And that was the crux of the statement, given in John chapter 8, verse 12. Who are you? Now, Elizabeth and Joshua don't know who they are. Joseph, do you know who you are? I'm looking at you. Do you know who you are? I think he does. He doesn't want to answer, though. Well, in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And that's just one of six I am statements. Next slide. Six I am statements that Jesus gives in the Gospel of John. Now, let's see how good we are. Somebody, let's try to call him out. What did Jesus say he was in the Gospel of John? I am the Good Shepherd. Say it again. John chapter 11. The bread of life, yes. The gate. Somebody could say it again. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Yeah, there were six of them. I'm not going to ask anymore because I'm going to now, if you hit that button once more. Okay, I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the gate. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way and the truth and the life. And I am the true vine. But this morning, we're going to concentrate on one. Now, John has already given you a hint, but I'll give you another hint. What are we going to concentrate on? The light of the world. I like lights. I have the, Josh, can you come up here and hold one of them? Elizabeth, you want to hold one? Who else wants to hold a light? I get a few. Come on. Come get them. All right.
It's time for a joke here. If you give me a really small one, that's always fun.
You want a small one? Okay. Now, you and Joseph got to stand beside each other because this is my traveling light and that's my office light. Or it's not a lightsaber, but you think it is. Elizabeth, of course, there's a movie that came out. I got one more. Who else wants to hold a light? I've got this thing about lights. One of the things about lights is I can't see very well. And so I have and if you notice, this one needs batteries. It's kind of sad. I went out to my shed last night to get something, and it didn't do a thing. But light is very important. And it's really important to me because my eyes aren't real good. And so I was going to take a picture of my office. You should see my office. I've got 8 lights on the ceiling, and I've got 3 gooseneck lamps hanging from brackets above my desk. One shows the book I'm reading, one shows my keyboard, and one shows other books that I might be reading or using as references. So I use a lot of light. Thank you. You can give them back now. You got to turn it off. That's an LED. That's really nice. Yeah, just try them. Thank you. Thank you. And there are other I am statements in the Gospel of John, but we're going to concentrate I am the light. But if you turn to that passage in the Gospel of John, go down to the 58th verse. Somebody read that verse. And that's the verse that almost got Jesus killed. Somebody read that out loud.
Verily, truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am.
Now that's a little bit different form, isn't it? The other ones, for those English grammarians, had a subject and a predicate. I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. I am the light of the world. But that one is just, I am. And that goes back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, where Moses came to the burning bush, and what did the burning bush says? Yeah, it burned.
I am what I am.
That's right. That's what the burning bush said. And when Jesus said, I am, in that context, the Pharisees, who he's going to be arguing with during this whole chapter, really had problems with Jesus. Because when Jesus said, I am, they thought about that thought in Exodus chapter 3, and they realized that Jesus was saying he was eternal. He was equal with the eternal God. He was equal with the God of the burning bush. And that, to the Jews, was blasphemy. And what is the penalty for blasphemy in the Old Testament? Read verse 59. Somebody read it out loud.
At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds.
So what was the penalty of blasphemy?
Death.
Death, stoning. And they were going to stone him because of that claim. And it all began with his claim that I am the light of the world. Now this light and life theme goes through the Gospel of John. If you go to John chapter 1 verse 4, it says that in him was life. And this life was the light of men. And this light shone into the darkness. And darkness has this idea of secretiveness. And things that go on in the dark. And if you wanted to rob my house, when would you do it? This is true. But if you wanted to rob my house, you'd probably do it in the dark. You probably wouldn't go in the front of the house. You'd probably go in the back of the house. Because no one can see. It's in the dark. So deeds that are not godly are often referred to as done in the darkness. Now, in the Old Testament, this word light was used all the time to describe God and things of God. Let me go through a few of them. The ones on the overhead are a few of them, but I have more. In Exodus, the glory of the very presence of God in the cloud led the people of Israel to the promised land. And this idea of glory, or Shekinah, had the idea of radiance. You see, God isn't dull. God is not boring. God is bright, and he has Shekinah. He has this aura around him, if you could see him. And he is the Shekinah, the glory. that shines around God. And the Shekinah glory of God protected the people from those who would destroy them in the Old Testament. We read that in Exodus 14. And the Israelites in Psalm 27 verse 1 were trained to sing, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Do we sing that song? We've sang it here. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The word of God, the law of God, is a light unto our and a lamp unto our. Again, God is light, and the word of God is light. God's light is shed abroad in the revelation of his word. And in Ezekiel we read about that, and Habakkuk we read about that. Light is Yahweh in action. Yahweh being an Old Testament word for God. God is light. Isaiah tells us that the servant of the Lord was appointed as a light to the Gentiles. Now, who were the Gentiles?
Us.
The Gentiles were the non-Jews. People who were not God's chosen people. But we learn in Romans, and we learn in the New Testament, that God's word was for the Gentiles as well in the New Testament, because they were grafted into the tree of Israel. So God's light is for the Gentiles as well. And in the coming age, the Lord himself will be a light for his people. In fact, in heaven, it says there won't be any need of sun. Why? Because the light of the sun will be all we need. Because God is light. Zechariah perhaps says it best in chapter 14. Can't see the clock. Okay, because I got to leave time for Marshall here. What's that say, Marshall? 10 after? Okay, I got about 20 more minutes, right? Okay, so in Zechariah chapter 14, it's especially significant because it says that God has a promise of continual light in the last days, followed by living water flowing out of Jerusalem. And the funny thing is that reading from Zechariah was read at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot. And guess what? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," just at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, this Feast of Tabernacles was wonderful. And in the celebration of at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, which was also the end of the harvest, and tabernacles were little tents that they would construct and live in. But at the end of this feast, they built four great jugs, 75 feet high, and they'd fill them with oil, and they'd burn a wick. And there were four of them dotted around the temple. And when they lit those lights, all of Jerusalem was lit up with light. And the Jews would have known that. And they would have marched around the city holding torches as well. And they would celebrate the great Feast of Tabernacles, the feast at the end of the harvest, the feast that the Jews so enjoyed. In fact, at the end of that time, they would proclaim this out loud. They would say, "Our fathers who were in this place stood with their backs to the temple and their faces eastward and worshiped the sun. But our eyes are unto God today as the people of God, the people of Israel." In fact, if you have never seen the joy of this ceremony at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, it was also called the water drawing ceremony, you've never really seen joy. In fact, that's written on one of the posts of the tabernacle. The statement is etched in the hearts of all Jewish people. The joy is only understood at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, when the light of the world shines. And so Jesus, at the end of the ceremony, says, I am the light of the world. Guess what the Jews did when he said that? You think they were happy? No, they got really angry. And they said, how can you say you are the light of the world? And thus verse 25 is part of that debate. Who are you? Because you're not who you say you are. And then there was... keep going. Next slide. And so throughout John chapter 8, he's accused of a number of things. He's accused of... He's accused of contradicting himself in verse 13. He's accused of insinuating, which means kind of saying but not really saying things. He's accused of denying who he really is, and they say he's of the devil. He's accused of insulting them. He's accused of sarcasm. He's accused in verse 58 and 59 with violence. And they, not accused with violence, but they tried to perpetrate violence on him. Now, let me ask you a question as we move into 2016. Some questions about yourself. Some questions about me. Some questions about you. And these apply to why the Pharisees who Jesus is talking to denied that he was the light of the world. Next slide. First, there was a lack of knowledge. And perhaps this is the most universal reason given by all people today of why they deny who Jesus is. They just don't know. They rejected Jesus as the light of the world because today they think he's really cute under a Christmas tree. But go out there on the street and ask who Jesus is, and most people would say he's a myth. Most people would say he really doesn't, he never existed. He's a good story. Most people have a lack of knowledge. And even for the Pharisees, because they had knowledge of his healings and his miracles, the fact that he fed 5,000 people at one time, they knew about his message of truth, they knew about his message of grace, but the Pharisees missed the truth. Let me ask you a question. How many people do you know that are really missing the truth? People that you know from work or from school, they just miss the truth. Second reason is they lack perception. If you look at verse 15, we'll go there real quick. John chapter 8, verse 15. Okay, verse 15 says, you judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. Lack of perception. They only saw what they wanted to see. They didn't see the spiritual nature of who Jesus was. Jesus is not just a good guy. Jesus is God incarnate. And they didn't see it. And then read verse 23. Verse 23 says, but he continued, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. And that's the reason why they couldn't, they didn't have the right perceptions. The third thing. They didn't read their own scriptures. They saw God as a hard God, a mean God. God that had rules, and if you disobeyed them, you got in trouble. They didn't see the God of love and the God of compassion that their scripture talked about. And so they didn't. They just missed it. And then for number four, they had a lack of desire. They didn't really want to know who Jesus was. They wanted to stay in their ways. They were children of Abraham, and they didn't want to miss it. And for number five, they missed it because they had a lack of humility. In response to Jesus, the Pharisees strike back, and they say, you don't know who you are. we know who you are. You are a child of the devil. Now, as I close, I just want to remind you that you and I in 2016 can do one of two things. We can pick up stones like they did in verse 59 of John chapter 8 and get ready to stone him, or we can cling to him as our Lord and Savior, because Jesus is the light of the world. Now, Marshall is going to talk one more thing about light. Speak about it.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope you can understand my deep African accent. Now, Jesus says, I am the light. He says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He certainly knows who he is. He, without actually saying, I am Jesus, he could actually say who he was. He could describe his nature and his character without actually mentioning his name. Certainly some of us here did actually try, you know. I was thinking myself what I would say if he asked me, and I was going to say, I am my wife's husband, I am my daughter's father, and I am a friend to those who would be a friend of a person like me. But that's quite inadequate when it comes to the way that Jesus actually was able to describe himself. Now, as Jesus says that he is the light, so many times, I wonder whether we can also be able to describe ourselves in the similar manner, to say that we are also light. Can we be light? Are we able to have some of that light? I love lights. I love especially the LED lights. Oh, where's my bag? When I had a look at Paul's lights this morning, this one was the one that I liked the most. Because you could do that. Or you could do that. Yes. So, I especially love these LED lights because they are exceptionally bright. And they are quite amazing. You know. And they remind me of the light that God is. How bright. As it says in John that it shines in the darkness and the dark cannot comprehend. Because the light of God is so intense, it actually enables us to see. But what kind of light is that? I'll read from Matthew 5, 969 for those who have the church Bible. Matthew 5, 14 to 16. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So now we see that Jesus is not only light, but he also desires for us to be light. That we can also be light. But this kind of light is not the kind of light that we were born into, as in the light that we see every day. It's not the sunshine's light. It's not the light perhaps from this type of lamp. Because certainly we have a lot of that. Even people who do not know God have got that kind of light. And yet it doesn't really do that much for them. It does not change a life. It does not change somebody's ways. It does not convict the people who are without God toward God. The light that Jesus is talking about when he says that we are light is his word. Paul read in John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So we understand that being light comes from following Christ. Being light comes from walking in a life that is in fellowship with Christ. And he says that if we do that, if we walk following him, we will never walk in darkness. Does that mean that we will never walk in the nighttime? Does that mean that we will never walk in dark places? No. Darkness is talking about spiritual darkness. It is talking about the deeds that people do. Sometimes, as Paul said again, if somebody thought to rob his house, they might do it in the night. Why? Because the CCTV is a little bit, not very high definition, you know, when it's nighttime. They might see you, just a finger whizzing past, but they wouldn't be able to identify you. That's why a lot of people who do bad things do them in the dark, because they want to hide. So, we do those things that people are quite happy to do, that do not bring shame. Therefore, those are the things that Christ allows us to do. He works within us to will and to act according to his will, to do those things that will not bring shame to us or to his own name, but the things that will actually bring joy in our own hearts, that will bring glory to himself, that will draw people to himself. That when people see the deeds that we do, the deeds that are light, the deeds that are good, when we are kind to our neighbor, when we do those things that other people look at and they change something in them, they know that humanity still has some good. They know that there are still very nice people. Those are the things that Christ is talking about when he says that we can be light. I would like to respect the time. So I do challenge us that as believers, we will always tend towards the things that are spiritual, the things that are from heaven, the things that Christ requires or admonishes us to tend to, the things that he loves out of us. I saw a lighthouse once when I was 16 years old, for the first time actually, because we don't have an ocean in my country. And it was a marvelous thing to see. But then, I always think to myself, what would happen if the lighthouse only produced enough light to just light the inside of it? And none of it goes outside. Then it wouldn't actually provide enough light for the sailors to see where they need to go. Now, Christ says that we are light and we should not be hidden. Our light should shine in the world. As the year comes, 2016, I just want to maybe remind us that it would be nice to do those things that radiate the light of God into the world that we live in. Sometimes it could just be being a friend of someone at school. Sometimes it could be saying hello to your neighbor for the first time. Sometimes it could just be saying hello to that colleague at work who never talks to you. But that would go a very long way in radiating that light of God, in actually putting your light on a hill and actually being able to be that person that walks in the light and to be salt and light. Thank you.